At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Cheryl W. from the Lancaster, PA area.
Hey family, I'm an addict and my name is Cheryl. And I want to thank my higher power for another day clean, and for that I'm truly grateful. And I guess I want to thank my friend Rosa for this commitment. The gentleman was walking through the aisles looking for people to share. She said, she can share. And I was just like, you know, I come from that place where you never turn Narcotics Anonymous down if you don't have to. But I also come from a place that before you share, you kind of try to get a little bit ready or prepared to share on the topic that you have. And my clean date is April 3rd, 1993. So last week I just celebrated 21 years clean. Totally excited about that. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life. I mean, like, prior to getting here, I was just surviving, and I didn't even know it. I thought I was living. And after getting here, I realized that I'm living today. And even after all the things that I've been through, all the struggles that I've had, I'm still excited about life. I'm still excited about this new way of life. I'm a 12-step member from the PA area, and you know, some of the things that I've gotten in touch with about myself is like this whole person who I created prior to getting here, and then having to, well, they talk about the layers, but I was an angry black chick. I got to Narcotics Anonymous, wasn't nothing funny. I was mad about being an addict. It wasn't nothing that I had dreamed about. I worked up until 1992, and I got clean in 93, and I really didn't think I was that bad. I didn't think I needed a whole lot of help with a whole lot of stuff. I just really needed to know how to keep the drug down. That's all I needed to know. I knew how to do the man. I knew how to do the kids. I knew how to go to work. I knew how to open a bank account. I knew how to pay bills, all of that. So when I got in touch with the unmanageability that they talked about in the first step, because see, I didn't understand why I always wanted to hit you. I didn't understand like why whenever you made me mad, my first thing was hit. You know, I'm violent. I come from I live in Pennsylvania now, but I was raised in Baltimore. I'm from the West Side, and I was the oldest of seven, and I had to fight for my little sisters and brothers. And I didn't care who you were and who you were. It came up against me. We was fighting, and that was it. And I was going home protecting them. I was a protector in my family, you know. And when I was looking at the triangle of self-obsession, you know, and when they talk about what makes up the triangle and the anger and the resentment and the fear, you know, like when I talk about anger, like if you said things that I didn't like and I got mad about it, you know, like wherever I go, I learned here that when I was getting as angry as I was, it was because I was hurt. Like, and I didn't know how to say I was hurt. I came in here with just a couple of, it was good or bad. It was yes or no. It was right or wrong. It was up or down. I didn't have all this range of emotions that I know today about betrayal and sadness and fear. I didn't know about all that stuff. So when I started to get in touch with, like, you hurt me, I never wanted to say you hurt me. I never wanted to let no one know that you hurt me. I would just, like, think, well, walk away. You know, or just act like it didn't hurt. Like, I was relating to a lot that the gentleman said here, because I stuffed all my life. Because if I couldn't fix it, if I couldn't handle it, if I couldn't do anything with it, then that's where it went down. And then when the last thing happened, and then I exploded all over the place and not knowing why. Because some of the things I found out here, you can't just do what you want to do and be okay. You can't say what you want to say and act like you're not going to have no consequence, because that's not true. So by the time I would finish cussing you out, then I can't sleep at night. Now, there were some nights I could sleep, but there were a lot more nights that I couldn't sleep. And I tell you, like, I came in here cussing like a sailor. I mean, like, Oh my goodness, I used to practice cussing. You know what I mean? At about 13 or 14, I'm sitting in the mirror talking about bitch and, you know, fuck you and all of that. That's just, you know, what we did. So I had to unlearn all that stuff after getting here. Like, not only do ladies don't talk like that, but we just don't talk like that. Why are you talking to people you say you care about like that? You know what I mean? But that was like really my way. That's how I could get you off of me, keep you away from you, back me up off of me. Because as long as you know, no, we don't want to mess with her. We don't want to mess with her because she'll cuss you out. She might even hit you. You know, so once I found out that no matter what you said should not be dictating what I do. Because I just came from a place that, yeah, I don't know. But where I came from, if people made you mad or did something to you, you had the right to hurt them. You know what I mean? It was like your license. Oh, they made you mad? Oh, yeah, cuss them out. You know, and that's what I thought it was, but it's not. And then through Narcotics Anonymous, I mean, like coming here and feeling like, look, I really don't need y'all help with a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it was so much stuff that he said that I just could relate to. Like coming in and people who had over like a couple of years, I ain't believe you said you had. I mean, I'm like actually amazed that I'm sitting here with 21 years today. I mean, like, damn, I was only trying to get a year. I just wanted to stop because it had gotten really bad. You know, when they talk about at the end of the road, at the end of the road, it was really bad. I had turned into somebody that I couldn't even recognize. I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror one time. I was like, oh my God, like, who is that? Who is that? You know, and when I think about this, you know, like, when I think about the goodness of God, when I think about all that He has done for me, like who, you know, like the miracle you see standing in front of you. You know, I used to think I was a little thug, you know what I mean? Like, even at 35, still trying to fight and shit, you know what I mean? Like, come on, who does that? You know what I mean, little thugs, you know? And so I got here, and then I found out that I wasn't alone. I found out that my problems weren't that bad and that big. I found out there were people just like me. You know, even when he was talking about the white people thing, I came in here with an absolute hatred for white people. And through the process of Narcotics Anonymous, I had a white woman sponsor me for 14 years. And this woman taught me that it wasn't about color. Like, all the people who hurt me look like me. You know, like getting in touch with, you know, like how people can say stuff to you and you buy in or you believe it. You know, like I didn't realize that I hated a whole group of people based on what somebody told me. Not because of what they did to me, but because of what somebody told me. And then I had a girlfriend. I got married in the process and she was white. She was my best man. She was my maid of honor. And I remember my sisters, because I'm the oldest of seven. It's four girls, right? So when they found out, they were like, So Mary's your maid of honor, huh? I said, yes, she is. I want y'all to be there, though, right? And because my one sister gave me a book, and the book was on the wedding and all that stuff. And it talked about what your maid of honor represents. And that someone that loves you both, that's got your back, is there for you, believes in you. And it was like, I could just think of Mary. You know, I was just like, you know, and how I ended up interacting with her is the first sponsor who I had before the girl. Mary was my sponsee sister. She allowed us to be together because she had this rule. Like, if you don't got over a year clean, we couldn't hang out with you. Like, you need to stay with people who got over a year clean. That was her rule. And because I came into this program, I decided I'm going to follow the program to the letter. Because if it don't work, I'm out. So we can't have no excuses. That's the kind of chick I am. I can't have no excuses. Well, then I'm going to do everything you say do. Because first of all, I'm not scared of nobody. So you're not going to have me walking out the middle of the street and shit in front of cars and just to see. So I hung out with her. So as a result of that, I got a chance to know her. So anyway, we were at some restaurant and I had ordered a salad. And the salad came with all these olives. And I said, I didn't ask for these olives. So So Mary says, well, have you ever had an olive? I said, no, but they're nasty. She was like, well, how you know? I said, because somebody told me somewhere. And it just dawned on me like, bam. It was like one of those eye-opening moments for me. Like, damn, here I've been not eating something because somebody somewhere that I trusted told me that they weren't any good. And it went back to the same thing with the people. Somebody I knew that I trust me told me you can't trust them. So here I am, and it's like a whole new thing is opening up for me because I come from this place with this and all. If you acting like me, look like me, then that's who I'm with. Only to get here and find out that I have so much self-hatred. I don't like nobody. I don't like black people. I don't like white people. I don't like men. I don't like weak women. I got hatred just going on all over the place. You know what I mean? So as a result of the 12 steps, and I'm telling you, when I started to embark on the 12 steps, they started opening my eyes to all kinds of things. I was like, wow. Like shit that I thought that I didn't like, and I found out I liked it. Like, I could start thinking on my own today. I could start taking care of me. Like, what do you like? It ain't always about cussing people out like I thought. So when I started taking a look at that anger that it talked about, and I started having to admit about the hurt, that you hurt me. I don't know about nobody else. So I don't never want none of you to know that you hurt me in any kind of a way. I will take that shit to the grave. You have no kind of power or control over me with your thoughts. Well, I had to carry that out a little further because I start cutting people out. I start Xing them out. I found myself in a meeting about 10 years clean, and I was in a meeting, not as big as this, but it was a pretty big meeting for our area. And I left the meeting feeling the same way that I came in. I knew I was in trouble because I bought in. I bought into this program. I bought into what they said. I bought into that you should never leave a meeting the same way you go in. But I was sitting in that meeting, and I had judged damn near everybody in the meeting. And I had judged them like, and I couldn't call on anyone. So when I got home, I called my sponsor, and she didn't answer. So I wasn't going to call nobody because I was feeling it, just feeling like you're in trouble. Anytime you leave a meeting and you feel like there's not one person you can talk to. So the phone dialed this number, girl answered the phone, and she was the last one that I would have called because she wasn't the ones I talked about all the time. She got more clean time than me. She's so smart, you know, no matter what you say, whatever, you know, all that shit, let go, and I'm not calling her. She answered the phone. I said, hello? Hi. I was like, I said, what's up? Well, what's going on with you? How you doing today? I just wasn't expecting this from her. This is a smart girl. This is the one act like she don't want to be bothered with us. And she was so nice and shit to me this particular day. And so I told her, I said, I left the meeting feeling like I couldn't talk to nobody. Like, she was like, wow, you can always talk to me. I'm on the other end of this phone, right? And I'm just feeling like, you know, and we was on the phone about an hour, and then I ended up telling her, I said, I ain't want to call you. I don't know how I dialed your number, but I just want to thank God that you answered and that you talked me through. You know, and that's another one of those things, like, you know, God will do for you what you can't do for yourself around here. When this chick had answered that phone and she was all happy and cheery, this is not the happy and cheery chick, I'm telling you. And I was like, damn. So I ended up finally talking to my sponsor. And some of the things that we were talking about is like my heart. Like I was so sensitive. You know, they talk about in recovery about being overly sensitive. I was so sensitive that almost anything you could say, if it wasn't nice or kind, you could hurt my feelings. I mean, like even learning about being pulled up. I try not to do anything wrong because I don't want to be pulled up, but it's unrealistic. You're going to mess up. You're going to do wrong. You know, so as I just started to like take a look at who and what I am. I'm not all that I say that I am. I can be better. So I started taking a risk and really telling the truth about how I feel. You hurt my feelings. I didn't like it when you said that you waited till there was a whole crowd of people around, and then you wanted to say that, and because I'm trying to work on not cussing people out just because they say shit I don't like, so I'm sitting here stuck with that shit, because, bitch, I really want, you know, and I got I gotta be mindful, because I can sometimes go right back into the moment, you know what I mean? Like, I can go, you know. Because, you know, I often feel like some of the people who came into recovery after me, they didn't get an opportunity to see who I was. You know, they didn't get an opportunity to know, chick, you working with somebody who working with something today. Watch it. You know what I mean? But I don't need to do that because I found out here that God fights my battles. I don't have to fight my battles, you know, anymore. Matter of fact, even when you're cussing at me, I ain't got to cuss back at you. Now, imagine this. Because I go to this other place and we talk about turning the other cheek and shit, right? I can literally turn the other cheek today. Oh, my God. Never thought I would be able to walk away from somebody who I thought was wrong. It is such a peace to be able to not allow people to dictate to you how you going to respond. You say some shit I don't like, I can say, okay. I don't agree with that, but okay. Like, I'm really understanding, like, you can allow people to do whatever they want to do, because as long as you don't hit me, we safe. You know, we good. As long as you don't hit me, we good. You know, and then I'm thinking about the day, you know, like, I'm 56. I'm not really trying to roll around on the floor with anybody. I mean, you know, understand what I'm saying? I'm not really trying to be doing all this and stuff with nobody no more. I'm happy that I found the principles that I have found. You know, so as I started dealing with that hurt thing, it really was something. Like, my sisters, like, I grew up in a household, we could talk about each other, nobody else could talk about us, but we were hurtful to one another. We would say some shit that could make you just want to crawl up in a hole somewhere, but we call it talking shit with one another. Now, if some stranger had said what we said to each other, there would be real fighting going on. So what I learned is that, Cheryl, like, you got to watch what you say. You don't want that coming back at you, then you need to watch what you're saying, too. Because you can't just do, because I'm always like, whatever you do is wrong, and my shit's justified. I'm trying to get better. You know, I'm trying to get better with that, right? But I will. I'll make an excuse for what it is that I do, but when you're doing this, like, you should know better. So, okay, so, as I started to deal with this triangle of self-obsession, because it's been like, just because of who I am and how I am, that unforgiving spirit that I've had, you know, like, I want to play tick for tack, you know, like, and this isn't today, but it's like, whatever the situation would show up, that might show up again. Let me show you. Because sometimes when people hurt you, this is my thinking, it's not right, but sometimes when people hurt you, sometimes you think the only way for them to understand is to hurt them back in the same way. But that really is not my job. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be showing this loving and caring person. I don't want you walking over me because I'm loving and caring. Every now and then I think I run into a situation where I need to show them just, hold up. Don't take kindness for weakness. I'm being nice right now, you know. And then it took so long with the hurt piece because of not dealing with any feelings or not being able to identify any feelings. Like, when I would say all right, I thought I was all right. I say I'm all right, you know, okay, it's cool, because I, you know, I'm letting it go. I'm surrendering. I found some acceptance. You know, this is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, you let everything, you know, people are powerless. So when I finally got down to how you hurt me and able to say that you hurt me, and then understand that even when I say that, you still don't have to accept it. You can tell me you need to go talk to your sponsor. You know, whatever. I learned that once I started to say, hold up, that behavior is not okay. You can't do that to me. That by the time I started to understand that, it started to be a freedom in that. Because I used to think that I couldn't let you know because then you would be holding something over on me. But you're not. I'm just freeing myself up from that pain because it's self-inflicted at that point. You know, and then the resentments, I didn't really understand what resentments were. And then I started to, like, when I would relive certain events, like, I was raped at the age of 13 by some neighborhood guys, and for a long time, I never dealt with that until recovery. And when I started to deal with that, what was more even behind the violation, I was violated, they hurt me, and everything. But at that point, I had made a decision, and no one else will ever hurt me again. And then my father, who my mother had called to tell him what happened to him, because at the time he was living in Colorado, and we were in Baltimore, and he didn't come. And with him not coming, I felt so unworthy. Like, what was wrong with me that my own father wouldn't come to see about me? So you take that betrayal, and it just set this whole stage for this me. But with the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, and I've learned to put that stuff down on paper, see it for what it was, and learn how to deal with my hurt and my pain. I'm wonderful. I'm good. You know, I'm a kind woman. You know, I learn how to appreciate stuff. You know, like simple stuff, like daylight and birds chirping, and, you know, because they used to just get on the last nerve. You know, been out all night long, and now they want to sing in the morning. You know, the sun want to burst through the damn screen, you know. And today, I appreciate all of that. I appreciate that stuff, you know, so much. You know, so as I started learning how to deal with the resentments, I had to forgive. I had to let go. And not just let go to a place where I stuffed it down. I had to really start to deal with that stuff. I had to, listen, I'm good all by myself. I don't need anyone to validate me today. I didn't tell them boys to come and rape me. That was not my fault. That was not my fault. They did what they did. The fact that my father couldn't man up and show up for me, okay, but I can't even hold him no longer for that. That happened when I was 13. I'm 56 now. When I started doing that work on high, God got my back. Listen, God is a great one to have your back. I mean, nothing, no matter what, no matter how much I've been hurt in this process, when I say my prayers, I mean, God got me. He lets me know all the time. It don't be like this long, drawn-out process. You know, like, when is God coming? He be Johnny on the spot for me. I don't know what he be for y'all, but he lets me know. He sends somebody. Like, I was sitting in my office one day, and a young lady came with a bowl of flowers, and they was wrapped up. And I said, well, what's that for? She said, I was just thinking about you. I was like, wow, I had just prayed. I had just prayed about something. And I was saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And this chick shows up with these flowers. It's like, wow. Wow. You know, and the triangle of self-obsession talks about three things. It talks about the anger, the resentment, and the fear. And it talks about, like, sort of like the antidote. And, you know, and the fear had been my heart. I think all of them was my heart. Because when me and my sponsor was dealing with the fear, I said, well, I ain't scared of nobody. Shit. You bleed like I bleed. Shit, you die like I die. You know. And she said, that's not quite what we're talking about. I said, oh, okay. So finally, later in recovery, I started to understand, like, if I couldn't do a particular job, I wouldn't try it. Fear could have me stuck. I wouldn't go forward, but I wasn't going backwards either. And in recovery process, that's just like setting yourself up for a relapse. Because it's like even when I wanted to sell cars, I'd always wanted to sell cars, watching the commercials, that was like, damn, I'm going to sell some cars. And I ran into a gentleman in recovery who sold cars. I said, you know what? I always wanted to sell cars. He said, you can. I said, really? Well, what you got to do? He said, I'm going to set up an appointment for you. Okay. So, anyway, I started doing things that I didn't think I was qualified for. I was no longer afraid of failing, because part of the thing, I was stuck in this thing. Like, if I can't do it right, I'm not doing it at all. That's just straight fear. If it's something that you think you might can do, you could go ahead and step out on faith and try it. And starting to step out on faith for me was like walking with a blindfold. And I really didn't like, I had so much control in my life. I want to be the one to know what I'm doing when I'm getting ready to do it. Well, when you operate in this program with a high power and with faith, you can't just do that. You can't do that. You have to be willing to do the unknown. And sometimes when I pray, and then I pray, I talk to my sponsor, because I got a sponsor in this program, and I follow direction. Even after 21 years clean, I still take direction. When I call her before I take on another sponsee, and if she said, like, she gave me the direction. Okay, he gave me 5 minutes, so give me the 2 minute warning. So when she gave me, we're doing our steps over again, and so currently I just finished my fourth step. So she had, a young lady had said, can Cheryl sponsor me? And she said, Cheryl can't sponsor nobody else until she finished her fourth step. So when the girl told me that, I said, hey, Mary told me you said. She said, that's right, sweetie. Now, I do what I want to do. I mean, I try to be within the parameters and archives and numbers, because I know that, you know, I don't like the consequences for my behavior. So I really try to do that, but I didn't like that. And so this was like back in March or something. So I got busy, because it's also like this challenge thing. You ain't tell me what to do for real. But I finished the fourth step. And my anniversary, I celebrated. And she came down and I said, oh, by the way, I finished that fourth step. You know. So, but she had some people lined up for me. So anyway, he's giving me my, he's confusing me. So anyway, listen, let me just say this. I'm glad that I did go ahead and say something. You know, being a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I feel like there's too many of us experienced members not sharing enough for the newer member. When I got here, people were sharing. They were telling the truth, like how it was, what was going on. They weren't sugarcoating nothing for us. And I just, you know, try to give you a little bit of what I could based on where I was at. And I just want to say thanks for allowing me to share.